Let's talk with Alderman Ray Lopez. He's joining the show now. He's been very, very outspoken after the what happened with Officer French and her partner there Saturday night. Officer French, of course, lost her life. Her partner is still clinging to life, last I heard. Alderman Lopez, thanks for joining the show.
Anna, thank you for having me, as always.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've been very vocal about the kinds of things you're seeing here. I know you initially called to just say, hey, let's respect this officer and her family and pray for everyone. Where are you now today? What's on your mind?
Well, first and foremost, the families of the officers are on my mind. Obviously, the family of Ella French, her partner, as well as the third officer, who I don't think we can forget about, mm-hmm. who was also in the car and quite possibly saved the life of the officer in the hospital by returning fire and engaging with those criminals who so callously disregarded the lives of those officers last Saturday. And I think we have to keep them at the forefront. What I find very disheartening and disrespectful is just the level of incompetence that we've seen by the police department in the days since, most notably with the superintendent not even being able to say Ella French's name correctly, not once, but multiple times in the press conference yesterday, as well as, you know, things that we've heard from the first deputy superintendent about not having time for the bagpipes to give the proper farewell for the procession. It's just amazing. There's nothing more important right now in the police department than honoring its heroes that gave their lives and are clinging to their lives right now. And I think, you know, people are losing sight of that fact within the department, as well as the fact that the mayor says now we have to stop the divisive and toxic rhetoric against the police when she herself has been a proponent fueling the flames against the police officers ever since she's taken office. It is just the hypocrisy at this time is infuriating when we should be focusing on what's truly important, which is taking care of those families.
Yeah, I would agree taking care of the families is the ultimate priority. I think what's making news today is the fact that two brothers have been charged now. They were in court today. It's not going to bring Ella French back. It's not going to make her partner well or get him out of the hospital. Charges are being filed. What do you know about that, Alderman Lopez?
Well, I was there in the courthouse today with Alderman Tabaris, Napolitano, and Gardner, as well as several dozen officers and the family of the officer that is still in the hospital, watching the proceedings, making sure that the judges knew that we demanded full accountability and no leniency against these two individuals. And I'm thankful that no bond and no bail was the order of the day. The judges, particularly Judge Beach, did quite eloquently vocalize that the one brother who is not the shooter is just as culpable by willingly returning to the scene to engage in what was already well established as a very horrible situation, despite everything that was going on that night. And I'm glad for that, because we get so often stories where judges are turning a deaf ear to what was going on. And in this case, I don't think that was what we saw today.
Well, there's a lot of scrutiny on this case, that's for sure, as well there should be. Hey, I want to circle back on something. I'm going to pause for just a second, but I have seen a freeze frame. I don't know if you've seen any of the body cam video. I don't think it's been released publicly just yet, but there is body cam. There is an accounting of what happened in those moments before the shooting. And I want to ask you about something that I saw there. Maybe you did too. Alderman Ray Lopez is here with us. Alderman Lopez, I saw a freeze frame from the body cam video that I'm sure will maybe be released at some point publicly. It shows as Officer French and her fellow officer approach the car that if you look in, there's a freeze frame that shows what appears to be a gun visible there in between the driver and the passenger. And I just wonder, have you seen any of the body cam? To me, so many thoughts went through my mind when I saw that. Did they see it? Did they not see it? Did they miss it? Or were they sort of hesitant in some way to do something? Or I don't know. I mean, in terms of the response, when you see that, it's kind of haunting to me.
So, Anna, I saw the freeze frame that you're referring to, and I know that it does, in fact, look like that is a weapon in the passenger side. Mm-hmm. But having listened to the proffer issued by the Assistant State's Attorney's Office today twice, that probably wasn't what we're thinking it was. By the sounds of it, The passenger and driver originally got out of the car and were cooperating with the police, according to what the state's attorney said earlier today. Hmm. And it was a third person not visible in that picture, who was the brother with the tattoos on his neck, that was in the back seat and got out with open alcohol, apparently. And he was the belligerent one who was fighting and wrestling and trying to be obstructing his arrest. And though the other two that are in that picture initially were cooperating, things kind of went south when one of the officers was trying to address the situation with the third individual, who we don't see, when the weapon was seen in his waistband, apparently. His shirt came up and they could see a weapon there. And then it only went downhill from there. And he's the one who apparently shot them as both Officer French and her partner were trying to subdue him.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you've been outspoken about is that there are video posts, and it seems you even posted one to your Twitter handle that I mentioned on air that maybe people should go look at, because it shows your interpretation of it was that it's showing that there's sort of this egging on of evading arrest and in resisting police officer orders, and then posting it to TikTok and other places because you get a lot of likes and shares when you do that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that is the case here. I don't think any of them knew that they were trying to record this, and I don't think there's any video of them actually trying to do it. Everything that we're going to see was from the body cam footage from both Officer French and her partner. Both of their body cams were functioning even after they had been shot, and still were able to record some of the more gory details as they unfolded that day. But definitely, we continue to see this level of disrespect and disregard for the police officers, that when you are asked to comply, you think that you don't have to if you don't believe you need to. And I think that's what we saw begin this traumatic event Saturday, was that this third individual felt that he did not have to listen, whether that was fueled by alcohol or whatever else was in his system, has yet to be determined. But he clearly did not think that he had to comply, that he felt that he could try to evade being arrested for having open alcohol and marijuana on him. And then things just escalated from there. It was one bad decision after another that unfortunately cost the life of Ella French, has another officer clinging for his life in the hospital, and has a third officer who's trying to think of what he could have done better with a case of what can only be called survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. And he himself as well is a hero for stepping up and running back to help his officers, his fellow officers, because originally he was trying to pursue the one brother who was in the driver's seat as he was trying to evade arrest after the fight broke out with his other brother. It's just an amazing and horrible collection of bad sequence of events that we saw unfold. And I hope that this reminds us of just how dangerous a police officer's job is, and more importantly, how dangerous this rhetoric that we continue to hear from politicians every time they try to use police for political weaponry, calling them killer cops or whatever they're trying to say out there in the extreme left political universe, to score cheap political points, that all of that falls on the listening ears of the public. And it, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, it does have an impact, and it does motivate people to treat police differently. As opposed to being pillars of respect, they're treated with suspicion and contempt. And when they engage with the officers, that contempt bubbles to the surface. And we saw that unfold this weekend. And politicians need to be held accountable for how they speak, how they act, and the tone that they have moving forward.
Yeah, I think that was one of the points you made, were trying to make and made when you posted that video that I was referencing earlier, just exactly that sort of sentiment. Hey, Alderman Lopez, I want to ask you something, because Officer French was assigned to this citywide unit that was mm-hmm. supposed to, it's part of Superintendent Brown's initiative to go to hot spots, for lack of
community
a better word.
Community safety teams.
Community
yes.
safety teams, they move all over. And I guess they had a lot of younger officers on these, because it just wasn't a coveted position. It wasn't an applied for position by most of the senior members. And I just wondered, is this team, generally speaking, is there more scrutiny of it now? Do you think generally it has been working, or is it not effective? What do you think?
Well, I'm not a fan of the community safety teams, because what it did was it pulled officers from the neighborhood districts, put them in a citywide team, and then dropped them in at will by the superintendent or the first deputy superintendent. You know, what we need in districts is stability and numbers to be able to maintain BDIC integrity and be able to answer 911 calls in a quick and prompt manner. And I believe that this citywide team took away from that. But that being said, I know there's been some discussion about the fact that this was like reverse seniority to get on this team, and it's often our least experienced officers who are being assigned to it. But in the case of Officer French, you know, she was a go-getter. She was loving the fact that she had a chance to make a difference and wanted to make neighborhoods safe. And I learned today that she actually wanted to be a part of the TAC team, but didn't have enough experience. So in lieu of that, she opted to voluntarily join the CST community safety team because she was so committed towards making our neighborhood safer and doing what she could to be proactive in some of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. And I just think that we have to remember that that was her goal. That was her mission. And that's what she was committed to. And unfortunately, that's what she gave her life trying to do and achieve in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think that's well said, that's what she was committed to. She was, by all accounts, a shining example of a police officer, of someone who was there for the right reasons and doing all the right things. And tragically, this happened. I don't know how you undo it. I don't know what things you point to say that this could have been better or that could have been better. It just, you know, it probably doesn't matter at this point in time. As you look toward the police force, though, and I know, you know, you folks in city council are taking a look and you're hearing from the people who are in your ward, what kinds of things are in place right now, other than police morale being low? What kinds of things are happening and should be happening in order to move us to do better?
Well, I think definitely one of the highlights of what the public can expect is that last year the city council passed my resolution requiring that we have a pre-budget CPD discussion simply about their budget, their spending, and their priorities as a standalone, separate from the regular budget season. And I believe that's going to be this month. It'll give us an opportunity to see if we're spending money in the right way. Are we hiring the way that we've budgeted for? And do we need to do any kind of corrections in advance of next year or even now? And I think that's going to be an eye-opener for many people when we see, you know, how many vacancies we've allowed to exist in the city of Chicago, how our hiring is going, are we making any advances in recruitment, retention, and things of that nature. Now, there are a lot of things that we need to do to start addressing this, but we aren't able to do it if we don't ask the questions and routinely ask these questions. And I think we saw with the special meeting of the city council where superintendent and the mayor had to answer questions before the body was a good start. And I'm hopeful that we can continue building on that moving forward, because we can't just be a city council that has a one-and-done moment with our police department every year at budget time. We need to be on them aggressively to make sure that they are meeting the metrics of keeping Chicago safe. And I think more importantly, I'll tell your listeners that, you know, several months ago I introduced a resolution calling for a vote of no confidence on Superintendent Brown. And I think now it's time to resurrect that, because I think that we've clearly seen that whatever's going on in terms of policy is not working, that not only are our citizens not safe, our tourists are not safe, but our officers are not safe. And I don't think he has it within him to make any kind of meaningful corrections that will prove otherwise, that he deserves to be in that position.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Alderman Lopez, I appreciate your time today and always. And please, I mean, we'll keep the officer and their families in our hearts, our prayers. And it's a difficult time. I know you've been very involved. You actually had met her, didn't you? Did I hear that right? Ella French?
Yes.
Some point.
Yeah, when she first came to the area as a CST, her and her partner both have a connection to people in my office. So we sat down and talked about ways that we could work together. I know she was a big animal lover and helped out with some of the animal microchipping events in the community. And, you know, just a very radiant person who Chicago will be dimmer after her passing. Mm-hmm. And I would say, as we close, anyone trying to help her family or her mother or brother, during this difficult time, just be wary of scams, go to the FOP, go to the Chicago Police Memorial for the legitimate ways if you are seeking to donate or be helpful to the family.
Thanks, Alderman. Appreciate it.
Anna, take care.
Alderman Ray Lopez there. He's referencing there are a few GoFundMes out there that apparently are frauds. They're raising money, they say, for Officer Ella French. They are not. They're frauds. The Chicago Fraternal Order of Police put out a warning about that. There are scam GoFundMe accounts saying that they're raising funds on behalf of the officer, and they're not connected with the family in any way. So the FOP is saying, they posted on Facebook, I think, please go to chicagofop.org. to donate to our Help a Hero page, and all donations, 100%, will go directly to Officer Ella French's family. So that's the FOP, ChicagoFOP.org or FOP on Facebook.